All right, so welcome to another Social Marketing Hour. Today it's a very, 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 very special one. Now, I say that a lot because I do get the opportunity of bringing a lot of special people. But today, I can tell you that you're in for a treat. This individual that I have here today is at the beginning of my evolution as an entrepreneur. I've accomplished a lot of great things. Some of you guys have seen my journey, and I have this booming Inc. 5000 winning, award-winning company that's smart into helping people with marketing. And I have a supplement company that sells a lot every single year and has been growing with no outside investors, and I have all these great things. So not that long ago, somewhere around, I would say 8-9 years ago, this individual came into my life, and I was broke. I had recently gone from a bankruptcy. I didn't have really any confidence in myself. I didn't have any belief in my own abilities and my own skills. I didn't even know that I could succeed. Like, the system never gave me any indication that I could be successful. And I was introduced to a webinar from him. And this webinar was the crucial turning point in my life because it woke me up. And ever since, I never stopped. It's like a switch that turned on that I did not know how to turn off. And it was quite magical. And a lot of that has to do with that crucial moment, right? That when everything got started. It wasn't my end of the journey with this guy. I just basically started at that point. So I said this, like, obviously my father was a big mentor of mine. But my father, I had him for my entire 40 years of life until he passed away. If you were to ask me who is my number one guy, mentor, that woke me up to the world of entrepreneurship, is this guy that we have here today. So that says a lot. The other day, I was able to connect with him again, and it was incredible to connect with him. And, you know, I loved this guy for many, many years, a lot more than he's loved me, for sure. And I told him that he knows about our story a little bit, and I was able to show him that he was a part of my wall, the Hall of Fame. And he was like, what? I'm a part of the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, Jason, you are front and center in that wall. So I did not talk enough about Jason's accomplishments. But if you guys don't know Jason, I'm trying to resolve that now because he's now an AGM client, and I'm trying to get him into the world because he's been living under a rock. The old school marketers, anybody that has been in marketing for a decade at least, everybody knows who Jason Feldon is. He's done hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. He's probably responsible for billions of dollars in revenue because he taught people like me, people like Russell Brunson, people like, the list goes on and on, right? Of these people that have given credit to, even some of the influencers that we see today, Alex Hormozi, he gives a lot of credit to Jason for what they know today. So there's so much value coming out of your content right now. So that's very exciting. So without further ado, I want to bring my friend, my initial mentor, one of the people that I consider to be, I could say honestly to you guys here, my audience and anybody watching this, he is to me, in my opinion, the greatest marketing mind alive today. Mr. Jason Feldon, what a pleasure to have you here, brother, today. I'm so excited about this interview. So Jason, as a follow-up question to the social media world and why you weren't a part of it, any more specific reasons, like personally, that you maybe felt like it wasn't the right thing for you? Because in a way, it's pretty incredible that you have amassed a massive list. Because, you know, I know you have a lot of people on your list. I know you have done record-breaking webinars. And traditionally, when you look at Grant Cardone, when you look at all these people in like Russell Brunson himself, like, they get their list from mainly social media, or a lot of it, right? What is the main reason that you, being one of the top marketers in the world, you were like, you know what? That's not my thing. I don't want any part of it.
You know, I'm just an avid student of the 80-20 rule, which is a few inputs equal a majority of the outputs. So I find in any system that I develop, what's the one or two or three things that are going to produce a majority of the results? And it turns out, even to this very day, that an email list is still by far the most effective model of communication, or modality, I should say, in a majority of businesses, especially influencer style types of businesses, or information or solution orientated type of businesses. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, what's the medium of communication that seems to be the most influential? And it's webinars. And so if you just do those two things, so I have an email list and I have really powerful webinars, and you say, well, how do you build your email list? Well, we typically will create the highest converting type of material in our industry, and then get affiliates to promote it. And affiliates are essentially like, listen, dude, I can't match anything. You make me more money than anybody else can make me. And so I have a lot of affiliates who build their list however they built their list, maybe social media, maybe whatever, carrier pigeon for all I know. And we stay in our lane there. And that allows us to be super lean and mean. I don't want to build a massive organization because it disrupts my ability to be creative and to think clearly. And being on social media personally disrupts my ability to think creatively. There's too much noise and there's too much stuff going on. And so that's why I stayed away from it. But at this point in my life, I want to have more impact than just the sweetest spot of the market. You know, we did over $60 million last year in sales on an email list of just about 200,000 people.
Which is incredible, by the way.
Which is insane, right? Insane. I mean, it just insane. And if you look at some people that have tens of millions of followers and they don't do 60 million. And we did it without a massive team. We did it without an insane amount of overhead. We were light and agile and nimble, which allows me to have a life outside of business. So I don't want to just make $60 million a year. I want to make $60 million a year and be healthy and have time to do other things, because business isn't the only thing that I want to have as a function of my life, or not even necessarily the main thing in my life. I want it to be a thing and I want to be able to contribute, and that feels good to me. But I want to go and I want to have a well-rounded life on top of all of that. So that's kind of where I lived. But at the same time, once you do something for so long and you get so good at it and it becomes relatively easy for you to do it, it doesn't have the same charge anymore. So I was right. Looking for something new. And it's just, this is the world we live in now. It's not digital business. Digital business is business. E-commerce is commerce. They should start calling it like our commerce, reality commerce. And that should be the secondary thing. And e-commerce should just drop the E and we should call that commerce, because that seems to be the primary way businesses are being built these days.
Absolutely.
And offline, maybe we call it O-commerce, offline commerce. And that becomes the stepchild of commerce, because that's where we're headed. And I've been at the forefront of it. And I've seen so many people be so successful from the things that I've taught them that I might as well come out from behind the curtain. So that's what we're going to do here. Now, I don't know. Maybe I can't swim in this water like I can swim in the other waters, but I'm excited to find out and see what we can come up with. I know one thing. I play the game differently. And so I will use a different approach and perhaps get a different result, which then maybe other people will draw inspiration from and say, okay, I see I can do it like he did it, not just the way everybody else is doing it.
Absolutely. I'm excited to ride that wave by your side for sure, especially because I believe in what you have going on for sure. So that being said, so $60 million in sales last year, which is incredible, right? I did $50 million, but it's not as incredible like between both companies, because you don't want to see my overhead, right? Like when you look at inventory costs and staffing and management, and I have about 250 employees and all that stuff. I mean, you know, we're swimming in different oceans for sure. So it's quite amazing. So Jason, I got a million questions that I can ask you. I got many, many takeaways that I got over the last few days from you. But, you know, for the last several years, I would say 6 years or so, people have been talking about how email marketing is dying. You know, and just a follow-up to what you just said right now, email marketing is dead and the open rates and nobody's building lists anymore and it's not important. And then you come here and you say, I got $60 million from my email marketing. So what do you say about that subject? Because I know you're a contrarian by nature. Like it's like everybody says email marketing is dead and then you go all in, right? Like it's everybody starts saying that email marketing is the next big thing, then you're probably going to start doing something else. So,
oh yeah, then it's dead. When everybody's saying it's the most alive it's ever been is exactly when you know it's on life support and about to die. Now they say the same thing about webinars too. So I'm using two dead medias, right? I'm using a webinar, which is dead, and I'm using email, which is dead. I've studied the human condition, the brain, the biases, and the logical fallacies in which we, using imperfect hardware, operate in this world. And we make very, very predictable and very limited decisions based on these cognitive blind spots, which we're unaware of. And so when you see something slightly decline from its halo effect, so at one point in time, email was the hot, fresh, new thing. It was exciting. It was like the foreign exchange student that showed up to school and you're like, ooh, who's that? I want to know more about them. And then after you're hanging out with them for 4 years, you get used to them. And so it's not the trendiest thing, There was a period in time where you could be really bad at email and do really well. There was a period of time where you could be really bad at webinars and do really well. And so people frame it. And we talked about framing effect in the training that you were just a part of, right, Manny? So they have a frame of reference, an anchor of, I could be really bad at this, but because nobody was using it hardly at all, I could be super successful. So when it comes time to be disciplined at it, and they don't have the discipline, then they start to get worse results. And therefore, they conclude, because things have dropped, that the whole thing is about ready to fall off. And they go off and they look for the new thing. See, gurus are no different than brand new customers in this regard. Everybody's chasing shiny objects. And it's insane to me. So it is really simple for me to understand what is the most effective. And that is, how do people prefer to consume information that leads to purchasing decisions? And I look at social media more as a noisy nightclub. You can reach a lot of people. They want to go out, they want to party, they want to have fun, but they're in various states of intoxication and they can't even really notice or hear each other. And it's dark and it's loud. And email's more of a, hey, let's go and have a coffee date together. So one doesn't mean you can't do the other, but one is more likely to get attention and the other is more likely to convert that attention. And so email is different because you have to invite me into there. And it's a little bit more one-to-one when I'm analyzing the information. Social media is a free-for-all. It's one-to-many. And social media is algorithmically based. Email is based more upon time and based upon permission, where no email provider's trying to guess, hey, this guy's sending out emails. I think his email is perfect for you. So I'm just going to force him into your email inbox. And so the email inbox is the oasis in the desert. Now, there's a super technical, and that's what people are getting caught up on these days. The technical competency in which you run emails these days are completely different than how they used to be. So if you don't have a good technical person, like I have my business partner, Wilson Matos, he's an ace at all this stuff, then you could have the greatest marketing in the world, but if your deliverability isn't there and if you don't understand the rules of the ESPs, the email service providers yet, you can get caught up there as well. But
right.
name one sandbox where they don't have their own special set of rules that you have to be compliant with, technical or otherwise. They all are like that these days. And so we know for a fact email is the best. Now, what we're excited to see is how it will pair with some of these other aspects that we have, because being one-dimensional in email, the limitation on that, which we've suffered from, is if you're on our list, great, but if you're off our list, we might as well not exist.
And, that's right.
You know, Manny and his company are managing our social media now, and they're seeing all these long stray customers of ours. Like, no joke, right, Manny? We're having customers saying, that dude made me $12 million and I haven't heard from him for 7 years. Because they're not Absolutely. On my email list. Somehow, some way, they got off of it. Either they unsubscribed, or you know, the fates of the ESPs disconnected them. Whatever the case may be, or we cleaned a list and somehow scrubbed them off accidentally. Who the heck knows? It just happens. It happens from time to time. Or they were on my email list with an email they don't use anymore. It doesn't matter. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, this is so silly. Because this is a person who loves me, you know, because of so much of what I've done for them in business. And this is a person I could continue to help and can continue to serve. But because I am one dimensional, I'm in a dimension where I can get by far the most return for the effort involved.
So let me tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me interrupt you on this, because this is important. Wait. I'm going to tell you my exact representation of what you just said right now. I really think, Jason, that if you would have done this a little earlier, your 2021 year wouldn't have been 60 million, would have been 100 million. It would have been 100 plus, right? Because here's the example. So you made me a lot of money, like an outrageous amount of money. You built me, you got me on the way. You know, you obviously you saw a part of my journey, you know, along the way, you saw me grow, and I basically everything that you sold, I bought it. When you launched the software. Yeah. When you launched the software, I became your number one user of that software, and I became an example for everybody else. And I went through all that. Like, I can tell you that, so it's pretty unreal, right? So when I started joining, doing your stuff, I had nothing to my name. I was broke as a joke, right? Like literally 2010 bankruptcy, right? So people say that they were bankrupt, or they don't mean it literally. I was bankrupt, right? So I did your program. I started doing your training. I connected with your world, and fast forward, I'm doing $50 million a year in revenue. So it's pretty incredible. But I don't know anything about Jason. Like, it's been years. fast forward, and again, it's because obviously the last time that you posted a video on YouTube was, I think, 2 years ago, right? You had no Instagram profile. Your Facebook page had a few thousand followers, no life to it, nothing going on. Like,
been about 8 years. I couldn't even get into it anymore. Remember? I'm like, I don't know how to get into that page.
Absolutely. So TikTok obviously was non-existent. All these platforms that were attention grabbing, you wouldn't know where Jason is at. So even though I'm your biggest fan, and you know that, because even when somebody would you know, because we always have haters along the way, right? When somebody would hate on Jason for some reason, I would be like, hey, dude, boom, I was putting back on his seat, right? Like, it's the people that really believe in you, they go to war for you, right? They fight for you. You know, I don't know if you recall, but we did a training together, which you sold me, it was a $20,000+ training in Iowa. I even went to your house. This is 2015 or so. And some people, you got some haters in that crowd. Like, there was two or three people, if you recall, that were making some noise about some things. And I went to fight for you, right? So the people that really got value from you, which is an enormous amount of people, they fight for you. But still, I would not know where the heck Jason is at. Is Jason alive? Did he retire? Where the heck is he at? Who knows? And the reason why I forgot about you was because a few years ago, I think that you stopped communicating as much, and maybe you kind of disconnected, fell off the map. And then at some point you started doing some other promotions of things that I was not interested in. For X, Y, or Z, one dark day, I press a button that says unsubscribe. All right. It was a dark day. All right. A very dark day. I can tell you, you know, I'm not proud of it, especially because, you know, you're a hero for me, but I press that unsubscribe button, right? So a few years pass by, all right? And then we both get invited to the same room, which is a very exclusive room. I don't know nothing about Jason. So I am sitting on the back row on that room, which is in Miami in Grant Cardone's office. And this dude, who's a tall, white, skinny guy in front of me, nothing similar to Jason Flatlin, all right, that I know, is in front of me. And it took me probably half a day to recognize it was Jason. And when I recognized you, I was like, no freaking way, right? So along the way, Jason, that's just an example of like what you just described right now, because not leveraging, just being one directional, right? One channel, you do lose contact with these people that are advocates and fans and passionate about you. So it's a lesson for everybody out there. The one thing that people like Grant have done really well, and all these other guys, is like, even if you unsubscribe, you keep on connected with the person over and over, and they keep on coming back to you. And I think that's what we're building out for Jason right now, because the value is so incredible, and the people that love you, they just love you no matter what, right? They might be disconnected for a while, but they still love you.
I want to clarify something so everybody's listening, is every single one of us have limited capacity. So we have a finite amount of energy that we can devote to something. We have a finite amount of resources. And we also have a certain belief system of we're not playing the game objectively. Like, there's not a first place, second place, third place, fourth place. Not really. Sometimes we pretend that there is, and we jockey for position. And so I was happy to make the concessions at the time. I made the best decisions for me, and that was to run a lean and mean organization that didn't require every waking moment of my life to run me ragged. And that's one of the reasons Manny didn't recognize me, is because my health had improved so much. It was like 7 years later, but I reversed my aging by 7 years. So instead of, you know, him going from me being 32, looking like I'm 39, before I was 32, looking like I was 39. Now I'm 39, looking like I'm 32. And so you make priorities, and you honor exactly whatever you've done. You honor it, because you can't look back on it with regret. Regret is not an empowering state. It's a limiting state. And so you do what you can with what you have. And then after a while, you can redecide again, or say, now that I'm this person, or in this capacity, or showing up in this way, now here are options for me to pursue that maybe I didn't care to pursue before. That I can pursue now. So I think that's a very important lesson for everybody, because in this business, the tendency is to just say more and more and more, grow, 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 build, build, build all of the time. And I had certainly have been in that capacity where it's like, we want to build these empires. One of the reasons why I burned out was because of that And so I taught all these people great things, and then they went on to be some of the leaders that they've done today. And I had to take a breather because I went too hard in one direction too specifically, or even in multiple directions back then, because we were innovating and trying and doing all sorts of stuff. We were on the cutting edge. Like if I came up today, like I came up when I came up, I would have been on TikTok as hard as anybody, and I would have been on Twitter as hard as anybody, and I would have been on Instagram as hard as anybody. You know what I mean? But now that we see things in the way that we see them, it's all about what calls to you. That's really where I devote my focus and energy. And this calls to me. This is what is calling to me right now. And so I'm going to do it. And maybe it'll make me more money. Maybe it won't make me more money. Hopefully it'll give me more impact than it did before, than the impact I had before, which is pretty substantial. It might not be wide impact, but it's extremely deep impact. Just hundreds and hundreds of millionaires that I've made over the years, or helped make over the years.
Crazy.
But you know what? It doesn't really matter, because, and this is a big secret for anybody listening, is the more authentic you can show up as yourself, the better you're going to be for everybody else. And so I don't have this compellingness to do something just because somebody in the industry tells me I should do it, or do it even because it seems obvious, or do it because there's opportunity there. There's always opportunity, and it's everywhere. So staying within the thing that you resonate the most with, and then showing up the most of yourself with, that's my jam. And now I feel like I have that excess capacity and energy and desire to do this in a new way. And so here I am. Every day's new, man. That's what I love about this business.
Absolutely. So that is a perfect segue to my favorite quote of the week by Mr. Jason Fladlin. And I want to have you talk about this a little bit, because it goes beyond just marketing. And I believe it's very, very important for us as entrepreneurs to execute on this formula. And the formula goes like this. Value plus sincerity equals success. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. That's what I've done, right? So over the years, I have actually pushed on providing value and being myself, just being sincere, right? Not trying to pretend to be somebody that I'm not. And that has led me towards success. But people sometimes don't realize the power of the simplicity of the formula and executing on that. So can you talk about that a little bit? Because I know that I got that from you. When you say that formula, other people are like, it's BS, right? With you, I'm like, I got that from Jason. I got who he was from the beginning, sincerity, and I got his value, and that led him to a lot of success. So tell us about why you think that's a very important formula for all entrepreneurs to have.
Yeah, and there's another part to that formula. You lead with value and sincerity, then you close, and then you just repeat that infinitely. So at a micro level, it looks like this. Say I know you're the right fit for my product. I just know it. It's so obvious to me. You need to buy this thing. Not buying this thing is hurting you and costing you more than buying this thing, which will help you. And so I could go there and try to beat you over the head with it. And maybe I make a couple sales that way. Or I could show up and say, listen, here's something I noticed that you're limited on. Let me help unlimit that. And part of that's the information. But the other part of that is allowing you to open up to me, to let me in there to help. And that's where the sincerity comes. And we say, I get where this guy's coming from. I understand his agenda. I feel emotionally safe to be vulnerable with him. And so you lead with value combined with sincerity. And then when you make that aha moment, that insight, when that person says, oh, now that I understand this, this changes things, then you close. Then you say, okay, now that this changes things, what's the next step? Do you want to keep this to yourself, or should we share this together? Should, you know, I kind of be in your corner around the way? Do you want to make your own resources, or do you want to leverage my resources? Now, obviously, there's a monetary exchange involved if you want to leverage my resources, but nonetheless, there it is. And that's if that person says, nah, not right now, totally okay. Then next week, I'm going to say, what else did they need to hear that they haven't heard before that would help change the game even further? And I'm going to lead with sincerity and value again. And then maybe now they'll see things in a way where it makes sense to invest. And I'm not going to give up on them, especially the ones that I know are absolutely who I had in mind when I designed the product in the first place. When I sat down and I said, I don't know if I can help everybody or even most people, but these types of people, oh my God, I can help them. I can help them so much because I designed the product for them. I just need to get them to help understand that. So the value plus the sincerity. So value alone isn't enough. You can go out there and you can teach till you're blue in the face, and you can train and you can educate, and you very well may have the best knowledge, wisdom, and insight in your market. But if people aren't receptive to hear it based on how you show up, or based on what they think they know about you, but they don't really know about you, or if they're not willing to even listen to you because just the mere thought of you somehow makes them not resonate with you, then you're going to miss them. On the flip side, if you are sincere, but you don't have the goods, that ain't going to work either. There's a lot of nice, sincere, caring, ethical, moral, wonderful human beings
broke.
Who are broke, right? They are broke, and that will break them. They'll break the soul. And so that alone isn't enough either. And so you need the combination of the two. And then the third component is, just because you aha somebody, just because you open the door so they can get to where they want to go, many of them still won't walk through it. And that's when you need to close. That's when you need to say pretty much directly, this is what I think you should do. And here's where you need to go next in order to do that. Because there's high stakes involved here when we're selling the products that we're selling. And so I'm not going to leave it up to chance or risk it that you're going to make the decision without me telling you the decision that I want you to make that I think is in your best interest. And see, that's where, again, you get back to that sincerity. If I'm telling you something and you don't think I have your best interest at heart, you'll be resistant to it. So I have to have your best interest at heart, but then I have to show up in a way that you also understand I have your best interest at heart. And so when I do close, when I do tell you what to do next, you'll say, okay, I trust that guy enough to do it. I'll try it out. I know it's simple, but that's the key to every marketing campaign I've ever designed is let's lead with value and sincerity first, because then we can close forever. If every single interaction we have with somebody is framed from that position, we can continue to go back to them over and over and over and over and over again. And they will, in mass, not necessarily at the individual level, but in mass, they will be receptive or more receptive to continue to hear messages. And I always say new information, new decision. And so people are making a decision based on the available information and their understanding and their feelings towards it now. But if we give them a new information or we give them new insight, then they can make a different decision than they did before. So if the decision no before doesn't have to be a final no. It could be no knowing what I know now. And then it could change to a yes if there's something new or some new feeling you can attach to it.
If you can handle the objections of these people along the way, right? So you mentioned a formula that I actually had never heard before. I only heard it from Jason. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if it's something that you actually got from somebody else, but or if you came up with it. But you talked about the, not the 80-20, you talked about the 80-10.
Yeah, right? I came up with that myself. Yeah, so this is
I love that. You came up with it yourself. That's yours, huh? That's amazing. So let me introduce it, right? Because I really love that concept, and it really like increased my responsibility over that 80, and it makes so much sense, the 10-80-10. So for those of you guys out there that have an SMS list, an email list, you got a following already. What you got to know based on Jason's formula is that there's 10% of people that are going to buy whatever you have going on, no matter what. And there's 10% of people that are not going to buy, no matter what you got going on. But then the magic is in that 80% of people that you need to make them believe in the product and the offering in you and have them jump to that level of like, I trust you, right? So would you talk about that for a minute, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I observed this when we were promoting an Amazon product back in 2013. We were the top affiliate of it, the first six launches of it over the span of 3 years before we retired. We're like, okay, we're the champ, we're going to retire, six-time undefeated champion. And I learned this on the first one, I observed it, and then that's how I perfected it. That's why we were unbeatable, is I said, man, first of all, I noticed a lot of affiliates promoting the product back then that were making way more money than they should have, knowing their capabilities.
Which, by the way, Rich Dad even tried to compete with you, and you still crushed them, right?
Yeah.
Robert Kiyosaki tried, and he couldn't.
Yeah, I think we outsold them by 2 or 3 to 1, maybe 4 to 1. I can't remember. It was a substantial amount of money. And the thing of it is a lot of affiliates back then who were only making maybe $50,000 of promotion were promoting this product and making $250,000 of promotion. And Will and I were looking at it and we're like, they're making way more money than they should. They're not that good to make 5 times the amount of money. So the opportunity was so ripe and it was so hot. And so in that market, 10% of buyers there was a lot of people that would buy it with imperfect marketing, with really crappy marketing. And that's what they were living on. So everybody was walking around patting themselves on the back saying, man, I crushed that promotion, not realizing they were catering to the people that essentially woke up that morning and said, hey, I want to start an Amazon business. And lo and behold, you just so happened by accident to put an email in front of them. And because the opportunity was so rich, they didn't even care when you created objections that would normally derail the sale. They looked past them and then they bought it anyway. And so that's that 10%. At any given time, you know, in the training we just did where Manny was at, I had a guy named John show up at the training. Everybody paid $5,000 to be there. Now he lives in Australia. I guarantee you, as much as he wants to train from me and learn from me, he doesn't want to fly halfway across the country for a 2-day small intimate event. But because he just so happened to be in LA at the time, he signed up and he didn't even know what he signed up for. He was like, I didn't read the sales letter. I didn't know what it was about. I was already in town. And it was a perfect alignment of the stars. So he's part of that 10% in that market of potential customers who are just going to say yes because you put it in front of them and it halfway makes sense. And then on the flip side, 10%. And we learned this the hard way because we were doing webinar after webinar after webinar. We were doing 6, 7, 8 hour webinars in some instances. We were hanging in there with those customers, answering every single thing that they threw at us, stacking on bonus after bonus, doing the $1 million guarantee where we put $1 million in a bank account and said, if I got to buy your business, here's my war chest that I can buy it from if you don't do X, Y, and Z. Like over the top marketing that's never been seen before. Most of it hasn't been seen since then. And they still wouldn't buy. Is like, okay, that's a reflection on them. That's not a reflection on the offer or on me. But the 80%, this is the aha that Will and I had, is we kept saying, all of these affiliates, they're saying so much stuff to this audience and the audience keeps listening and keeps opening and keeps paying attention, but they're not buying. What are they not hearing that they could be hearing, that they should be hearing? What do they need to hear in order for them to understand, yes, I should buy this or no, I shouldn't buy this? And that's where we made our fortune. Was by that 80% that could go either way. So in every market in general, it's not a hard and fast, you can't mathematically prove it, but it's a good thought experiment where you say, okay, am I only getting the 10%, the low hanging fruit? Am I just skimming off the top? Because man, if a market condition changes, that's why a lot of businesses go out of business because they were living off the fat of the 10%, but then that 10% changed, it's no longer there. Or on the other end is like, am I trying to sell to the 10%? It will say no, no matter what I do. Now I'm climbing a ladder that's leaning on the wrong building. So even if I get to the top, it's not where I want to be. And the ultimate thing though, is so many of us who have any audiences, 8 times the potential of revenue that you've already made exist in the audience you already have. They are just not understanding it, seeing it, hearing it, or it's just not positioned or framed or communicated in a way for them to understand that it makes sense for them to buy. And we go into organizations all the time and unlock that extra 80% of revenue that could go either way. Now, some people get 5% of it, some people get 10% of it, but we're looking to get as much of that 80% as possible. And so that's when I look at a market, that's what I say. I said, I don't want to go after just the 10%. We'll get them anyway. Because we're good at marketing. We're good enough to know the technique. We're good enough to know the strategy. We're good enough to know all the things that we've all been taught and learned that any of us who've met with any success, we've had to learn along the way. But the key to setting the records, to breaking the industry records, is in that 80%. So how do we get to them? And every time it's a new way. No two markets are the same. It's a matter of experimentation and figuring out and innovation and seeing what happens and observing and adjusting. And yeah, that's how we've made so much money over the years, is that belief is there's a market here that will buy if it is communicated to in the proper fashion.
So communication, copy, your messaging is extremely important because otherwise you can't generate that want, which is all marketing is about, right? You put a lot of attention on the copy and your messages.
And, you know, it's funny, too, so I don't want to be a stickler here, but it's like earlier, I can't remember exactly what you said, Manny, but you said make them want it or something like that. I'm like, I never try to make anybody do anything. I try to help them understand what they already want to do and magnify that. And same thing with the copy is I'm trying to unlock within them what already exists as opposed to externally try to impose it upon them. And, you know, maybe we're splitting hairs when it comes to communication, but that's how I think of it. And again, in the training you were at this weekend, right, Manny, is I kept correcting people when they said, you know, convince somebody or persuade somebody. I'm like, I'm not convincing anybody of anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that if it's the right move for them, deep down inside, there's a part of them that's already convinced. I just got to bring that out so they understand that, to resonate with that deeper part of them, not that superficial part of them. Because the best customers are usually the most hyper-resistant customers.
That's very deep. What you said right now is extremely deep, and I want to emphasize
that. You got to stop me, right? Because I just drop gems sometimes.
No, it was incredible because, you know, marketing historically is known as the art and science of creating a want in people, right? What you just said right now is really like almost like a new definition of want. You're not trying to, a new definition of marketing. You're not trying to create a want. You're trying to incite that person to reach on a want. You're trying to, they already want it. They already are looking for it. They already want to solve that problem. They already have attention on it. You're trying to get them to be like, feel comfortable enough with you so they can actually make that want a reality for themselves. So it's not like you're creating that want. It's already happening in their world, right? That's brilliant.
To me, it's a way more efficient way to do it. And I can give you an example, a general example here. Of everybody wants to feel connection, yet there's so many lonely, isolated people out there. And so however they seek connection or however connection has been presented to them isn't working. It's not resonating properly. It's just, there's a disconnect. And so I'm like, this person wants connection. How do I give it to them in a way that feels safe, where they can be open to it? How can I present it in some way where it's going to hit them in a way it hasn't hit them before? And maybe that's how I show up, but maybe that's to reframe a belief they have around connection. And so that's what I always look for, is what's already deep inside of them. Maybe it's buried, maybe it's hidden. Maybe we need to dust off some of the cobwebs so they can see it. But let's find what's already existing and magnify it, as opposed to create something new. Because creating something new is hard. It takes a lot of effort, and you don't know if the new thing is the thing they want anyway. So instead, what's already existing that we know that's inside of them, that we can bring it out. There's more finesse to it, maybe, but I think it's a lot easier, and certainly it's a lot more effective. But it all stems from this premise that I have, is if you look at it the same way everybody else does, you're going to get the same insight everybody else does. But you give a different perspective, you look at it from a new perspective, you will get new insight. And so I will look at it from all the same perspectives as my contemporaries, my competition does, but then I'll also look at it from new ways. So I have the insights they have, but then I have the insights they don't have.
Wow. I love it. All right. So Jason, as we start wrapping up, because we literally could talk for hours and hours and hours, I got from you this weekend a binder of how to take care of objections, and that's my Bible now for the next few weeks. I was studying it on the way back from the airport. It was absolutely filled with gold, amazing stuff. I even shared with you like a page, and I said, Jason, this is your content right here, right? Like, all you got to do is take this line right here and you got a piece of gold in the distribution side of things. Now, so I'm going to have a two follow-up comments here and then we wrap up. But one thing is going back to conversation of social media, right? And I'll have you give me your take on it. Because obviously you have gone down a specific path, and that has been a very successful path for you. We're now adding this new element, which is the social media platforms. This is what I like to share with you in regards to social media, because I have over the last 7 years or so been fortunate enough to have worked with a lot of amazing people, including my father, including Dr. Berg, including somebody that you know really well, like a musician, jazz legend, Chick Corea. I had incredible people. I built 10 social media profiles to over a million followers, and dozens more to hundreds of thousands of followers. Social media is not the end point. By no means is the end point. Social media, the way that I like to describe it is the start of the journey with an individual. That's all it is. Yeah, when somebody likes a page, subscribes to a YouTube channel, follows an Instagram profile, it doesn't mean absolutely anything but an initial commitment with that individual. So it's a way to generate a massive amount of attention of people going into that initial commitment. So you're a very big advocate of the money's in the list, taking care of your list, doing what you got to do to really present solutions to the people on your list. So now I believe, Jason, that with our social media strategy, a lot of people that didn't know the legend, Mr. Jason Flatland, are going to get to get introduced to you, because otherwise they're not connected with all those affiliates that you connect with. They're not part of that world. So it's like taking Jason Flatland and adding steroids aggressively. And now we're going to be able to like get that message out there far and wide. But again, the strategy is getting them to connect with you initially. So now we can then say like, hey, by the way, I got a webinar. So instead of you promoting the TikTok webinar only on your email list, we're going to invite people to our list through social media. And that is the path that has worked for me over the years that we're going to try to incorporate on you now. So having said that, Jason, do you see what the road is for you on the social media path now for yourself?
Yeah, I do see the road, but I also see the dimensions too. There's other dimensions between just the road. That's like a two or three dimensional. I'm seeing a fourth and fifth dimension here. And I know after a year, Manny, we're going to try so many different things. We're going to figure out what makes sense, what works, and then what works best for me, and we'll magnify that. And so I always look at these new endeavors as I have a whole year of just learning. I'm unattached to any results right now other than how can I be even more effective? How can I 10X or 20X or 50X my effectiveness? So if I'm here just starting and I take this and I keep working at it and thinking about it and sleeping on it and feeling through it, a year from now, that's where the exponential comes. That's when I get so good combining quantity of repetition with quality of thought. And so, yeah, I mean, we know what's possible now, but pretty soon I think we're going to invent things that we didn't even know existed. And then once we know they exist, it redefines possibility. So I want a year to figure that out. And then after a year, by year two, we'll probably be doing stuff that is absurd, that they will then do the same thing I've done previously with my marketing technique. People will make textbooks out of it. People will make huge careers about it. People will go and put me on their wall of fames. And so I'm excited to see how we're going to do that in social media. And I'm excited to have you in my corner to do it.
Absolutely. I'm super pumped about it, Jason. Jason, do you still feel you being the webinar goat, undisputed, I would say, that webinars are still a big part of what we can do as a marketing strategy for individuals and brands?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the webinar does two things really well. It helps give insight to a problem in a very intimate, very concentrated way, which everybody's always going to need. And then it also allows you to sell in a way that can feel comfortable to your audience and yet still be effective from a ones and zeros perspective. And so, you know, the technology may change or the format may go longer or may go shorter, but as long as people want concentrated, specific insight related to topics that they will then also want to invest in to get a benefit from, I can't see webinars ending anytime soon. Just like direct mail still exists, just like billboards still exist, right? What's put on them and where they show up and how they show up may change, but I don't believe if you always have that value plus sincerity, it doesn't really matter what the model is. You could be this vehicle or that vehicle. It could be in this color or that color. That's what we look at. The webinar is just the outward dress. The inward, the body that is in that dress is, how can I change somebody in a better way than anybody else can? I get that right, don't matter.
And you know, it's also a numbers game. Something that we also got from you is, it's not about the quality of the audience, it's about the volume of the audience. Like, you wanna have as many people as possible to deliver your message to, because you have a strong conviction or belief in yourself, in your ability to change that person's perception about themselves or make them reach, right? So you wanna talk to as many people as possible.
As long as you don't sacrifice the message. And that's something I see as an issue with a lot of people on social media, is they start developing content to please YouTube, not to please the end user, or they develop the content that superficially people can easily thumbs up, what I call junk food content. And so the balance here is, how do we not sacrifice the integrity of the message for the masses? How can we do both? How can we maintain the highest integrity, not compromise the incontrovertible truth of the insight that we have, and reach the most amount of people who are ready to hear that message? That's what we're going to try to figure out how to do.
Amazing. Amazing, Jason. Jason, final question. How do you feel about SMS marketing? I got to ask you, because I know you've been such an email marketer for so long. I know that you don't do a lot of text messaging. I think you guys don't do anything at all. right? You do none. Not,
right now, we don't do none, which is ironic because we published some of the first ever SMS technology way back in the day. I have the curse of being ahead of the curve, not behind it or not on top of it, ideally. Just like I used to sell on Amazon back in 2005 before they had FBA even, you know? I was podcasting in 2004. Oh God, I've lost hundreds of millions of dollars on things that I was only 10 years too early. I was publishing on YouTube before Google owned YouTube, you know?
And so I was SMS marketing has been the most important thing for me over the last 2 years.
Oh, I believe it, right? And again, different businesses will have different benefits. Like iPhones don't need to be sold on webinars. So it doesn't make sense for them to be. Other products, webinars, probably the only thing you can effectively sell them on. So I love SMS as a technology. Unfortunately, the regulation around the technology can be very complicated. And so that's an external factor that limits some of its usefulness. But for like agencies and for more high touch one-on-one where, you know, like Manny's business doesn't serve 10,000 customers, his agency doesn't. He only needs a handful of them to do significantly well. And so things like SMS can work very good from that perspective. And if we had a bigger organization like yours, Manny, we'd absolutely be implementing things like SMS. But you know, it's like, there's a million ways to the top of the mountain, but you can only climb one way at a time. And so I believe in the usefulness of it. I certainly have advised companies very successfully on how to implement it. Strategically, I understand it. But right now, we still haven't figured out a way to make it work in a way that I feel good about in my business, where it's seamless, it's frictionless, it feels comfortable, it doesn't expose us to stupid risks that have nothing to do with business, that are designed by a set of regulatory compliances which don't even comply with themselves. And so we're just like, we're really good at these things. We're going to outsource these other things and we're going to see what happens. And if, hey, today I might not use it, tomorrow you may see me all of a sudden becoming one of the best at it.
But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you on the record right now that I'm going to help you solve that for you, because I believe.
I know you will.
SMS marketing is going to be important for you. You're looking at 20% open rates versus 95% open rates. And if there's value plus sincerity, you know what that equals, Jason? Success. All right?
Right. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to unwrapping that. So we're not opening all the presents at once.
Our Natural Slim brand, which is an e-commerce brand. We also service people. We have a 500,000 people text messaging list. And that list is 25% of our yearly revenue, and we do $40-something million, but there's value on it. So we always give people, so just to clarify that point for anybody listening, because I'm a big advocate of text messaging, we always give people value in a sincere way, and then we get revenue from it. But it's a very profitable channel as long as it has content. If you don't make it a spam fest, like you're just promoting stuff every day and you're giving value and you're inviting people to your YouTube channel and to your videos or whatever, you're going to have people interested in that particular line. But anyways, I'm going to help you solve that problem for you in the future. I'm going to prove it to you later on, Jason.
Oh, you don't have to prove it. I already believe it. Going back to what we said earlier, just we got to find the right combination of things and when and how and where we're going to roll all these things out. But yeah, I'm sold on the concept. But again, to reframe the last thing as we go, everything within the capacity of what you have currently. Now you can grow capacity and then you have new capacity, which you can invest in new things. But I'm a very, very big fan of proper allocation of resources as they make sense right now. Because if you're good at 10 things, I will beat you if I'm excellent at one thing. So if there are 10 really important things in the market and you're like an 8 out of 10 on those 10 things, and I find one that I'm a 10 out of 10 at, I will win. I will have a bigger company and I will make more net profit, because it's better to be absolutely excellent in one thing that is undisputable, that nobody else can stop. That's how you get top of mind awareness, brand total domination. And then, of course, don't do what I did in the past. If you want to continue to grow, don't just chill. You can then circle back and then invest with new capacity into these other things. Awesome. Or you don't have to. I mean, because honestly, $60 million a year, pretty good.
Better to be number one in a small category than number two in a big category.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we talked about this weekend. One of the things, one of the 17 hours worth of stuff.
17 hours. I don't even know. Like, I was looking at Ollie, at my partner, and I was like, I really don't know how he does it. Like, I don't feel capable of doing that. I have a limiting belief. I don't think I can just get 8 hours on stage and just like talk intensely. And yeah, so much stories you guys gave us. It was a lot of value. That was awesome. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Well, that's why we pair up, right? Because you're good at what you're good at. I'm good at what I'm good at. We put one and one together and it doesn't equal two. It equals a lot more.
Exactly. That's another takeaway for everybody here watching this video or listening to this podcast. Jason, it's been amazing. I would definitely sit down with you here 17 hours again. I would be willing to do that because there's always value and gold. Anybody that's watching this video or listening to this podcast, you need to follow this guy. Jason is the biggest marketing secret that this planet has, and I can tell you without exaggeration. So check out his Instagram profile, Jason Flatland. YouTube channel, Jason Flatland. TikTok, Jason is on TikTok right now. We are pretty much across the board launching a podcast for him, and he's spreading his message. He's making 15 plus videos a month right now, and we're setting the world on fire with his incredible marketing mind. And Jason, any other thing that you'd like to close with? It's all yours.
Just do whatever Manny tells you to do on whatever social media channel, and I'll be fine.
All right, Jason, thanks for being here again with me, and you know, looking forward to seeing you skyrocket in this new venture social media world, and hopefully you provided a lot of value to people in the audience. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and I will see you on the next podcast.